It's 1:02, time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th to 22nd. This is the second hour of the Lowdown, and we thank you so much for being here with us. It's Ken Rudolph there. You heard it at the top of the hour. The icon, Jason Ross. My name is Damian Barling. If you missed any part of that first hour, make sure you subscribe to the Lowdown podcast on iTunes. Never miss a single episode. Never miss an interview. Never miss any of the fun interviews coming up at 2 o'clock. Amy Trask will be with us. We're going to talk about the Rooney Rule at 1:30 as well, whether that's helping or hurting the NFL. We got Three the Hard Way coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Tom Brady, did you hear about this?
I haven't heard about this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Tom Brady, I was mentioning there in that first hour how Tom Brady might be the coolest guy in the room every time he walks into a room. Until he talks. So he's got this new sleepwear thing. It's like $100 sleepwear stuff.
Oh.
Apparently it helps you recover faster.
Oh.
It's for athletes.
Okay.
Well, Under Armour is his brand. It's The Rock's brand also. The Rock, they're same brand team there. So Tom Brady took the opportunity to make a video and direct it towards The Rock. Tom Brady.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep. So that's Tom Brady. The first thing
he nailed the impression,
right? That's supposed to be an impression of the Rock.
Yeah, that's
isn't it?
Nailed
now,
it.
Now keep in mind he's like sitting like on a he as well. I'll let The Rock tell you.
Wait a minute, where did that come from?
That's the best part of this.
So that was The Rock, that was The Rock's reaction to watching Tom Brady's video.
He just recorded that? That was great.
Well, that's what The Rock does. See, that's the difference between cool and Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady's got the supermodel, he's got the clothes, but I feel like when he talks, it's just not there.
Yeah.
It's just the cool factor is gone.
He's like a just a bit more mature version of Andrew Luck.
Right.
When he talks.
Gosh.
Right. Oh, jeez. Golly, guys.
Oh. The Rock was great there.
Oh, Stanford.
But that was on social media. That's not like a commercial,
No. He has a YouTube channel.
Oh,
The Rock has a YouTube channel.
Right.
Tom Brady now is on Instagram.
Oh.
Tom Brady's social media game is strong. Like his Facebook videos that he does, they're very funny. And he sat down at a table to launch his Instagram account with hats that had the different social media logos on it. And he goes, well, what social media platform am I going to join next? Similar to what a high school kid would do with his colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks Instagram and says, I'm going to Instagram next, and walks off. And that was one of his first things there is for his sleep ad.
Okay.
To drop the it doesn't matter.
All right.
On The Rock.
And All right.
The Rock's response.
Oh, you're not going to play the Kermit part? I like the Kermit part.
Sit your legs crossed like Kermit. Now, here's a question.
A Jets fan. Did you get that?
Yeah.
There's a video with that, right?
Yeah.
Is that all jump cuts or is it one take?
Oh, no, that's one take.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on, man. That's The Rock.
No, it sounded like
no, I, maybe,
audio,
maybe,
they were
maybe
jump
the
cuts.
Part. No,
where he's
I think
going
that
off.
All it was because then he got serious and was like, oh, you know, because then he goes into pitch man mode.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to wear your new Under Armour sleepwear that costs several hundred dollars.
Right. So they're both in together. They're both promoting it.
They're both in Under Armour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Thomas.
Waited all day to play that for you guys. Waited all day to play that for you guys.
Yeah, The Rock part was worth it.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I love that. Absolutely
love
it.
Thomas.
All right. Yes, indeed. Hey, you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I think you guys have some good questions here. Mine is on the latest of the All-Star returns. The balloting has come out again. So week two is out, and it's getting worse or better for Zaza. I don't know how you look at this, but he's moving up. He is a solid second. DeMarcus, everyone else below him, quality All-Star performers like, let me see, the Western Conference. You got Anthony Davis below him, his teammate Draymond Green, Kawhi Leonard, DeMarcus Cousins. We know the league has already said 50% for fans, 25% for media, 25% for players. They got an issue here. Because, I mean, he's way ahead, and I don't know how the scale goes, but does the league have to do something if Zaza actually makes it? Because in one sense, if the players and the media don't vote for him at all, and he goes out, that's weird. But if he's also in as a starter, that's equally weird. Does the league, I don't know if it's an issue, but do you think they have to make a change here if Zaza's a starter in the All-Star game?
They won't do anything this year. Like, if he makes it, they'll just let it ride. Mm-hmm. But then for the beginning of the next season,
you fans are too stupid.
There'll be the Zaza rule.
Yeah.
We got a Zaza rule now, and you people don't get to vote anymore.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
next
it.
Year.
What are you going to do?
Right. You can't do anything this year.
You gave him the chance to vote. Like, what are you going to do?
And they've already tried to trim it down a little. Right. Only 50%. We still want your voice. Well, no, we.
Okay, we don't want to hear from you people anymore. Because really, All-Star voting is about the team that does the best job of marketing to their fan base to vote for their group.
Yeah.
Now, aren't there players that have...
There's no vote for Omri Caspi here, right? It's all directed at Boogie.
Yeah.
Well, look at what Golden State's doing. Hey, vote for our guys.
Get them
in the All-Star game.
That's kind of a...
Boogie's even got Coach Cal... working
that's
for him.
That's right.
And it was not cool. You talk about not cool.
Right, just heavy-handed.
Coach Cal trying to dab, and, like, he has a Vote Boogie, like, medallion on.
Yeah.
Didn't really translate, but it's Coach Cal. So.
Now, I know that some guys in the Major League Baseball and in the NFL, you get there's a contract clause where you get bonuses for things like making the All-Star team, making the Pro Bowl. Is there, and if this is a situation where guys have bonuses in their contract for making the All-Star team, well, now because fans want to be funny, you messing with somebody's money now.
Exactly. I don't think Zaza has that in his contract, but a Karl Anthony Towns might, who might be out because you put Zaza in.
You know who else who has those written into their contracts? Nike, Under Armour, Gatorade, All Sport, or whatever the different drinks are. Pretty much every endorsement will have an All-Star bonus in there for you.
All right. The league will have to do something because the agents will come to them and say, this is not cool.
Yeah. Next year. By the way, we talked about this yesterday before we get to the next one. Sean McVay, head coach, Los Angeles Rams.
All right.
That is official. Another job taken. We'll talk more about
LA
that.
Any news today?
None. Yeah. None at all. Kobe Bryant has announced his return to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, by the way.
Right.
Yes.
Me? I get
you.
To go? Okay. I was thinking about this. Because I got some guys that I know. But do you guys or anyone out there, did you grow up with or go to school with someone who became famous? Because I was thinking about the guy that called last week, said he played football against Jack Del Rio in high school.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Or coached him, yeah.
Or coached against Jack Del Rio, in high school. I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. So I'm thinking about that. Is anyone, have you like gone to school or did you grow up with someone that ended up becoming famous?
Yeah.
I played basketball with Matt Barnes at a park when we were, like, children.
Really?
Like, a lot. Like, regularly. I didn't know. I just knew it was a big kid who was really, really good at basketball. I knew his name was Matt.
Yeah.
And I never even made the connection until, like, Del Campo. I was like, oh, that's the kid from – I don't even remember the name of the park that we used to play.
Yeah.
But we didn't go to the same school. We didn't – you know, he went to Del Campo. I went to El Camino. I think we're the same grade, same age, same everything. But he was just really tall. He was really big. He was dunking at, like, 10 or something like that. And I just knew it wasn't fun playing with him unless he was on your team.
That makes sense.
That's the closest I can think of guys I grew up with. Lots of high school people went on to be like big, like Ebro. Ebro went to El Camino. Like that name doesn't
mean
much to sports
radio.
He's
running music.
Yeah, he essentially controls hip-hop music. He's the program director at Hot 97 in New York. So I didn't grow up with him but was aware of him and talked to him a lot when I was younger.
Yeah. At our school, he was 2 years ahead of me, but Adam Keefe, who went on to Stanford, was a great, he was a two-way player. It was volleyball and basketball, drafted in the NBA, played years for the Utah Jazz. He was probably the most famous person that we, was currently played against, practice against, that kind of thing. But in Orange County, we played against a ton of people. Like in baseball, we played against Ryan Klesko. Basketball, we played against, it was the scariest human being I've ever seen at the time, Willie McGinnis, but he was playing basketball with Tyus Edney, and we played Long Beach Poly, and it was like, I'm running away from Willie McGinnis. Looked like and he was really not as big then, but he seemed like the biggest man I'd ever seen. So, yeah, we came across playing against a lot of different people, of course.
Hey, what's up? One of your coworkers is on the phone. Laura Skurdy's on the phone.
Meteorologist Laura Skurdy of CBS 13 on the phone right now?
It's me, Ken. Did you miss me?
I did, Law. I spend every morning with Law Skurdy. She's the best. How you doing? What's going on, Law? You chiming in on our three the hard way?
had to call him. And I know, Ken, because you know me, you know what I'm going to be talking about, the Denver Broncos.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Rabid fan. And, of course, they just announced their new head coach, Vance Joseph. Well, to answer your question, I went to college with Vance Joseph at the University of Colorado.
Wow. Okay, wait a minute. This I have to know about because there's so little information on him. Did he play football? He played football, right?
Not only did he play football, this is probably going to surprise you guys, he was a quarterback at CU.
What?
Wow.
I know.
He's a defensive coordinator now.
I know, and everyone's associating him with defenses, but at CU, he was the quarterback, and here's the reason why you don't remember that. These were the glory days. I'm going to date myself here, but we're talking the early 90s, right? This was CU's heyday. And our starting quarterback when he first came to CU was one Darian Hagan. I'm sure you recognize that.
Oh, I do remember that name. Yep.
And he was closely followed by one Cordell Stewart. So Vance Joseph was our backup quarterback during the Hagan and Stewart days.
Wow. Did he play any defense at all then, in addition to playing quarterback?
I don't think he did. I remember him doing great when he was in a QB, and I also remember him being in a lot of special teams plays. I don't remember him playing any defense, but then, of course, he went to the NFL, short career, and that's when he made that transition. So it's interesting that now he's totally associated on the defensive side, but I remember him as just a great offensive player from back in college.
Oh, that's pretty cool, Laura. Nice. So as a Broncos fan, I know that you are all about you bleed orange. How do you feel about the hire?
As a Buff, I'm very excited because I'm proud of my fellow alum, but I still am questioning why we're going more of the defensive route. That's what he's known for in his coaching career. I'm a huge Wade Phillips fan. Of course, this probably means he's on the way out. And I'm feeling like we still need more help on the offensive side. So maybe, you know, his history as a quarterback, we have a little situation at quarterback, you could say, kind of waiting to see what happens with Simeon and Lynch. So maybe he'll have some influence there. I don't know.
Laura Skurdy, you are the absolute best.
No,
in
wait. Yeah, how's the weather? No, that's
Oh, Laura can give us an hour. She can give us an hour on the weather. Easy.
Laura, is Ken grumpy in the morning? And on a scale from 1 to 10, how grumpy?
Okay. We have to be honest. Sometimes when I say good morning, I get, you know, the grunt?
Yeah.
Good morning, I guess. Hey, it's good. Good morning. So I wouldn't say he's grumpy, but I say he definitely eases into the day.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you, Laura.
We appreciate you. Thanks for calling in.
Love the show, guys. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Laura.
Love you, Skurdy. See you in the morning. Skurdy's the best.
She's great.
She's the best.
She's got game.
She's like a serious sports fan.
Yeah.
Like, serious. This year, when the Broncos went to the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year, and she had no plan on going, she decided at the last minute, you know, like, it's here in Levi Stadium. It's my team. I'm going.
Good for her.
So she went out and found a ticket, paid more than she wanted to pay for something like that.
But has a memory.
But, yep, went there, met some Broncos fans. She's met some University of Colorado Buffalo fans, and they've got a nice little group that they hang out with and go see things. When Colorado played at Levi Stadium for the Pac-12, she decided at the last minute, you know what, I'm going to that too.
That's awesome.
She's all in on sports for Colorado Buffs and all in on the Denver Broncos.
Nice.
Love Laura Skurdy, hate Denver. Boo Laura. That's from the text line. 45. I'm only good educated guess here. Laura's probably our prettiest caller.
Oh, well.
Edges out JR a little bit. JR and Oscar.
Yeah.
Edges them out just a smidge.
Just a little bit.
Might be our smartest, too.
Yeah.
Dropping Buffalo.
She's wicked smart. Yeah. Meteorologist as well.
Okay, Matt Damon. Easy, boy. You know, Kristaps Porzingis, I was watching a ton of NBA last night. Porzingis shot an air ball at the end. By the way, everyone who listens to the show, if you've listened to it more than once, you all know who my favorite player in basketball is.
It's Russ.
It's Russ.
Yeah.
But I think I have a new guy who's, I mean, he's knocking on Russ's door. And I've brought him up a lot this week. Joel Embiid.
Mm.
He's so much fun. So set the stage here. The Porzingis misses. The Knicks are up one. Porzingis misses a three. Run it down. 76ers hit a shot at the buzzer when Joel Embiid is out there dancing with the cheerleader. I mean, they're having so much fun. I think it's their, like, 11th or 12th win on the season. They couldn't be happier. And all I could think about, and I felt like a jerk, a good quality jerk, But it was funny. It's for some reason, it's funny watching the Knicks lose right now. And it's not because of Carmelo at all, because I respect Carmelo. But it's because of Phil. Mm. And I feel like what he's doing to that franchise, I feel like he has a hand in the downward spiral that that franchise is in right now. And I feel like he's had one foot out the door since he's put his name on the contract, even before the ink dried. It felt like a total just a fake thing for him to do, just to say I took that position. And maybe it's not just him, but because it appears that position has been toxic for years. But I enjoy watching the Knicks lose under Phil Jackson. It's not right. I can't explain it. And then I think back to the day after the national title game and how we all came in here and said, well, we talked a great deal about the national title game that day, but all openly acknowledged if Alabama had won, okay, Alabama had won, and that's probably the end of the story. There was a certain, I don't know, joy? I don't know if joy is the right word, but there's a certain, like, oh, I'm more interested now that this team's lost. I kind of like seeing Alabama lose. You like seeing the big dog lose. Are there teams that you like seeing lose?
Yes. But it kind of goes from season to season. Does that make any sense? Like, it depends on what's happening with the team. Like, because my roommates in college were my best friend and my brother, and they're both Cowboys fans. So for I don't know how long, you know, the Cowboys were just crushing my dreams and beating the Niners, and I was just like, and then after they won the Super Bowl, I think 96, was that the last one?
Yes, 96, the last one.
After that one, I remember I wanted the Steelers to win, and Neil O'Donnell was useless. I was just like, God, I cannot stand them. And so then when they subsequently went on a 15-year losing streak, I was like, awesome. And now they're back. So Cowboys, I love to see them lose. You know who else I like to see lose? The Warriors.
But it's like lose a game or like lose in the finals?
Lose in the finals. It's not as intense as it was last year. Now this year I'm like, yeah, whatever, do whatever you're going to do.
Because we've seen it.
Yeah.
We saw them
lose. But last year I was like, beat them. Somebody beat them. And of course in baseball it was always the Yankees. Like I've told you how the Angels were the only ones that could do anything with them for like 15 years. And I was like, yes, beat them.
Yeah. I think it's like your natural rivals, whoever your team, you know, I like UCLA, so I want USC to lose every game by 1,000. Being a Yankee fan, totally understand why people don't like them. So I think that's a team that people like losing. But it can go kind of what you I remember the first year LeBron was with Miami. Nope, I don't want him to win it. But now I'm a LeBron fan. I want him to – I kind of root for him. So it was kind of a one-year punishment. And I think it's the teams that are successful. If it's not your team, like I didn't really care for Alabama winning. I don't really care. I don't really want to see New England win again.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of goes in cycles.
You know, the one team that's really, really good that never bothers me when they win? The Spurs.
Yeah,
sure.
It doesn't bother me.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, even when they beat the Heat that second year when they came back, and I was like, because I kind of knew going in, I was like, they're so good, and they're going to remember last year. They're not going to make that mistake twice. They're about to handle you guys. And then they were handling the Heat, and I was like, I'm okay with that because they do everything the right way.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
I had it cycle through on the Lakers, like, you know, the Lakers for the longest time because they were beating the Kings.
It's one of the first texts here. Yeah. Love seeing the Lakers lose.
But now it's almost like, well, every part of it's gone.
Exactly.
Phil's gone. Kobe's gone. Shaq's gone. It's like, yeah. I mean, I don't enjoy them winning, but
like,
whatever.
You know, because I had a thing because I remember, you know, when I was in Los Angeles and we're still in the middle of the Kings-Lakers thing, and I had an interview with Dr. Jerry Buss on Fox Sports. And I made a joke with him. I'm like, hey, we should make a wager. You know, I'll put up $10 to your $10 million. you know, you can't do that. That's not legal. And but it was that whole thing where I loved the fact that he gave me the time and we went at it on the air about Kings and Lakers. And he was very, very nice and very, very playful. But you're right. All of that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If Dr. Jerry's still there, if Phil's still there, if Kobe's still there, if something is still there that we still get that, then it would matter. But it's completely different
now.
It's not the same.
44-11-40. Conor McGregor. One of the guys someone like sees lose.
I could see that.
I love watching Tom Brady lose. It doesn't happen very often. But when it does, it's good. It's true. It doesn't happen very often. I like watching the Giants lose. It sounds like I'm against New York teams. It's not the case, but I do
the
like
New
watching
York Giants.
The New York Giants.
That's
sorry. Yeah, I like watching the New York Giants.
Because the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants,
it's a rival. That's probably. But I don't get as giddy like if the Redskins lose and a game that they're not playing the Cowboys or the Eagles. It's just for some reason, it's like, I hope the Giants lose every week. Maybe it's because of the divisional round and, you know, 06 or whatever it was.
There's history.
There's a couple other teams. Bama's one of them, though. you know, having affiliations with Tennessee, you can't cheer for Bama, you can't cheer for Florida football.
Right. Remember in college basketball, it used to be Duke. I know I hated when Duke would win. I was like, ugh. When they beat, they came back, was it 2 years in a row? So UNLV ran them out of the gym.
Yes.
And then they came back.
Beat them, and then they beat
and
Michigan.
And they beat Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, those years, I was like, ugh.
Marty from Philly chiming in. Shut up, Marty. I'm not even going to read your text out loud. Cowboys.
He's like Cowboys.
Of course he
Philly.
Did.
Yeah.
Of course he
Eagles.
Did.
Eagles, yeah.
Of course he did. Well, 49ers are one, too. That I became a Cowboy fan because I wanted the 49ers to lose.
Uh-huh.
And that was all just, you know, you talk about going back and forth with people on it. It was just going back and forth with my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
He loved he loved his San Francisco 49ers.
But you didn't take joy in this year for the Niners, did you?
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, I look at sports completely differently, you know, now. Obviously, with one exception being the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, I'd cheer hard for the Cowboys on the air because we don't really cover the Cowboys. We talk about the Cowboys like we talk about everybody else.
Yeah.
But I try not to cheer for any other sports team besides that one because really, who cares?
Well, I'm glad
you cheer for the Bucks. Like, who cares?
That you still have teams because some people completely lose their team. I would never – I love sports. I've always loved sports. I still want my teams. But if, like, some people completely, like, lose their just anything affiliation or fandom for a team.
But
like,
you don't really have a football team, though.
Like NFL?
Professional,
you're like,
probably more so the Raiders, but it's not, like.
But you're not, you're not silly about
it. Passionate's more with the Kings. And with
unless you're a real fan. Unless you're, like, you're only silly about something, like, when you're a real fan.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've tried to temper. Believe it or not, I actually am a Kings fan. I'm actually a really big. I'm from Sacramento.
We know that,
I just try not to show it.
Well,
because it's not. I just don't feel that that's the way, you know, I just don't feel like that's right.
You know what
fan is short for? But no one cares if you're a fan of the Cowboys. Yeah.
You know
or
what
the
fan
Bucks.
Is short for?
Yeah.
Fanatic. And that means, that automatically means that you're not necessarily in your right mind.
And what what artist hated calling his fans fans?
Prince.
There it is.
He called them friends instead of fans.
That he did. So you were Prince's friend.
Yes, I was.
And that, we have come full circle here on the lowdown. Is the Rooney rule working? Think about that for a few minutes. And there's a new head coach to talk about in Los Angeles. We'll do all of that next. Amy Trask at 2 o'clock here on Sports 1140 KHTK. As Ken said there, it's 1:33. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th to the 22nd. Amy Trask at 2 o'clock. Want to talk about the Rooney Rule. Got to talk about Sean McVay as well. He's hired as the Los Angeles Rams coach. We speculated on that yesterday. Now there really is two jobs left.
Yeah. Youngest coach in NFL history.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
That doesn't even just – it's going to take a while on that.
That is an open job right now. Now, is that job more appealing or less appealing that they're the Los Angeles Chargers?
Well, there's certainty, so I guess it makes it more appealing. I think it's a little bit of a mess right now, but I think that's a big hire, obviously. The Rams are going youngest coach ever.
30.
Yeah, and 31 in January, I believe. But they need to figure out what they're going to do as a splash again to L.A. I think that's a big hire by the Chargers. A
couple of big names still out there, too, by the way. Kyle Shanahan's still out there. Josh McDaniel's still out there.
Rams didn't even interview, by the way, Shanahan. They were that impressed by McVay. I don't even think they interviewed him.
Wow.
Didn't even get to that point.
Interesting.
Let's get to Dean here real quick before we move on. Dean, what's going on?
Gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, before I get to football questions, I wanted to know, you know, this Tom Brady pajama things, what exactly is he recovering from that you need to be wearing his PJs? I don't get that at all.
not being allowed to get hit. That's what he's recovering from.
Well, apparently. Well, then go to bed with a red vest on, since that's what they wear in practice anyway.
Well, there's that, too.
As far as the Chargers go, maybe they should be called the California Chargers and try to take fans from everywhere as opposed to being in L.A. And also, did you guys see that logo that was floating around on Twitter? It was like Dodger. It was like a Dodger blue with an L.A. and the lower part of the L crossed into the A with a lightning bolt at the end of it.
Right.
Yep.
I hope that wasn't official because that looked ridiculous.
And right. Yeah. We appreciate you as always, Dean. And
hey, real quick, though, let me just tell you, you're talking about teams you love to see lose. I just have to put that out there. Anytime the Dodgers lose, it's good.
There you go.
And also, anytime the Cardinals lose, because I hate Joe Buck, and the Cardinals have always been they've been the class team of the National League. You know, they're the National League Yankees, let's face it. But Joe Buck is such a homer. If they lose, I'm always happy.
All right, Dean.
I got a little hate in my heart today.
I see it. We appreciate you, my friend, as always. I hate Joe Buck, so I root for the Cardinals to lose.
Okay.
There you go. As we noted there during the Three the Hard Way segment, threw it in as breaking news, just talked about Sean McVay being hired as the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. Vance Joseph's been hired. There were six jobs. There's two left. It's the Chargers and the 49ers, the Los Angeles Chargers and the San Francisco 49ers. Ken, we had a brief discussion about this off the air yesterday about the Rooney Rule and whether it's helping or hurting.
Yeah, this is a pretty deep and nuanced discussion because it's been talked about by a lot of folks. They've kind of been changing the Rooney Rule, kind of updating it, evolving to continue to include more individuals. So the Rooney Rule was established back in 2003. And it's actually named after Dan Rooney, the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the chairman of the league's diversity committee, and indirectly the Rooney family in general. So, and it's also due because the Steelers had a history of being one of the very few, if not the only franchise, that were giving African-Americans a chance at coaching positions and chances to succeed off of the playing field. So they decided to make this a whole league-wide thing because a lot of these players felt like they weren't getting the shot at an interview. Number one was Tony Dungy, who was part of Chuck Knowles' staff in the 80s, and Chuck Knowles said, this guy should be a head coach. It takes 16 years before anyone looks at Tony Dungy to be a head coach. And then the further issue with that is now, as we're in 2017, the only African-American that they go to for references for coaches is Tony Dungy. Mm-hmm. So they still have not cast that net and spread out and said, hey, there are more people we can go to. So it's out there. And the reason why I was out there to give them just the opportunity. But is it helping? Because there's no owner in the league that's going to say this is a Rooney Rule hire. And there's no coach that would want you to say that about them. Anthony Lynn made the comment when he had his first interviews as after Buffalo and had made their decision with Rex Ryan. He's like, I don't want to be in there for that. Don't call me in there for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I fear that some teams did call him in to get that interview out of the way so that they check that box and then they go hire the guy they wanted from the beginning.
Yeah, because over the last 2 years, I think he's interviewed on a lot of places.
Yeah.
But is he interviewing just to check the box?
I think.
Or is he a legitimate candidate?
Because here's the thing. You know, it's one of those things where you can say, hey, it's reverse racism. Yeah, it is. Of course it is. It's not reverse racism. It's to reverse the racism. There's a difference in those phrases. And I don't think that we should need it, but I understand that there was something that they needed to do to try to even things out. I don't know if it's working, and that's something that we can kind of look at right now to see if it's even working, because Vance Joseph did not need the Rooney Rule to get an interview with John Elway.
Right, right. And Tech Nation's response to this already is pretty quick. 44-11-14 is pretty harsh. The league's intention of the Rooney Rule is good, but owner's intention of the rule is trash.
That's a good way to put it.
Thank you.
There's one black coach every year who's the token interview. This year, as you just said, Ken Rudolph, it's Anthony Lynn.
Yep.
And the hardest thing is, how do you prove it? Because we can all speculate, oh, that's just a Rooney Rule. That's all while he's in there. But how do you prove it? And that's a tricky one.
Right. Now, let's look. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Hugh Jackson, Vance Joseph, Todd Boyles, Jim Caldwell, Mike Tomlin. I don't, unless I miss somebody. Those are the black coaches.
You did say Vance
coaches.
Joseph?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the five black coaches in the NFL.
So, Mike Tomlin, the Steelers organization, saw him when he was the defensive back coach for who? Tony Dungy in Tampa Bay.
And you know what else? What figure I found yesterday is the Tony Dungy coaching tree.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing, right?
And it's shrinking.
Yeah.
The longer he's been retired, the smaller and smaller. Because Parcells has his coaching tree. Now Bill Belichick has a coaching tree. And they were a part of the same tree. All these guys have these coaching trees. Dungy had his. Lovie Smith, I think, was a part of that coaching tree as well. But the longer he's been out of the league, the longer Tony Dungy has been out of the NFL, the smaller and smaller his coaching tree has gotten.
Yeah, Jim Caldwell's obviously part of that.
Your old coach, wasn't that a Raheem Morris? Was that that was a Tony Dungy guy?
Yep, absolutely.
And he had 1 year. He only had 1 year, right?
I think he had, two.
I think he had two.
Okay.
Lovey had one.
They replaced him with the gentleman from Boston College. I forgot his name. I think
That went really bad. Oh, I know.
Yeah. I forgot the name of the coach already. But yeah, that didn't quite work out. But anyway, I digress. It's just one of those things where Tomlin didn't really need it.
Greg Schiano.
Thank you so much, guys.
Rutgers.
Rutgers.
He was not popular.
You guys have no idea how frequently that happens where something pops up and we're all straining really hard to think about it.
Because he came in like, gentlemen, this is it.
Sorry, buddy, this is the NFL. That doesn't work here.
We don't need that here. But it is one of those interesting things when you look at the African-American coaches and you're right. As we continue to get further and further removed removed from Tony Dungy's retirement, it starts to dwindle.
Great text here from Rod and Davis. He said, why is the Rooney Rule when Al Davis was the only owner actually hiring minorities? Why is it the Rooney Rule is what he was trying to say. Ask Amy Trask. That's exactly why we're having Amy on at the top of the 2 o'clock hour to discuss this very subject, as well as the Los Angeles Chargers. Still weird to say the San Diego move to Los Angeles. So we will talk to her at 2 o'clock. I think there's a bigger issue. It's not just the Rooney Rule. It's where are these coaches coming from?
Right.
That number is shrinking, and we have those numbers. We'll share them with you next on the Lowdown. Amy Trask coming up at 2 o'clock. Talk about the situation in San Diego / Los Angeles, and to talk about what we are currently discussing. Right now, Ken posed a question here whether the Rooney Rule is helping. Or the overwhelming response, especially on the text line here at 441140, from the three of us, is that it probably does more harm than good. And it creates this, and I think we have all used this phrase, the token interview.
Yep.
And as you noted, Vance Joseph wasn't brought in for the Rooney Rule. He was brought in because teams thought he was going to be a great coach, and he was sought out and sought after. I thought the same was true with Anthony Lynn. But
I did too.
I guess that's not the – I mean, there's two jobs left. There's three pretty prominent names still out there. One of them's going to get left out. Anthony Lynn will be the only one without a job.
And that would be 2 years in a row.
And he'll be without a job because
he was in Buffalo.
McDermott is going to get his own offensive coordinator, right?
Right. And he's not even the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. He was the interim coach for that last week because they had to get rid of Rex Ryan. It was urgent. They had to try out Anthony Lynn. Now, we had this discussion about what could have went wrong with Anthony Lynn, or there was a rumor that Anthony Lynn – there was actually not a rumor. There were strong indications that Anthony Lynn was going to be the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. They had a bad Week 17 showing, and there was that kickoff, that onside kickoff that resulted in a touchdown, which you never, ever see. And I wonder how much the performance in its – it's incredible to think the performance of that 1 week kept them from getting a job, but I wonder if they saw things they didn't like or if their intention was never to hire Anthony Lynn as the coach, and that was just people in Buffalo reporting a little bit too early. The issue, coaches come from coordinator positions.
Yeah.
And proof is in all of those names we just named, Mike Tomlin, Jim Caldwell, Todd Boyles, Vance Joseph, Hugh Jackson. We talk about the guys who just got jobs, McVay, McDermott, all those guys, coordinators.
Coordinators, right.
23 of the 32 defensive coordinators are white. It's going to be more now with Anthony Lynn gone. This was done at the end of, towards the end of this season. So Anthony Lynn was still a defensive coordinator. Vance Joseph was still, Vance Joseph was still a coordinator at this time. So the number is going to be actually less at the start of next year. If there aren't black coordinators, there aren't going to be black head coaches.
That's true.
Right.
Pretty hard to make that that jump. Now, they expanded the Rooney Rule to include coordinators because when it first started out, it was only for head coaching positions. But then they started to realize exactly what you just said, Damien. They're like, wait a minute. Don't you have to be a coordinator before you can be a head coach? So then they had to expand it to start to include positions for coordinators just to keep everything going. And so what's the need for this? I don't know if there is an actual quote-unquote need. But look, you're talking about a sport where more than two-thirds of the players are African-American. And you're talking about a sport where you need your coach to be – it's not about – we heard this from Nate Lundy yesterday, and he's got a point, and it's really not about X's and O's anymore when you're a head coach. It's not about scheming when you're a head coach. It's about leading. It's about being a leader of men. That's all that matters once you get to that head coach position. Can you communicate to your players and get them to follow you? Because you've got coordinators that are taking care of all the scheme stuff for you.
Yep.
Head coach at this point is really, will these men follow you? So, you know, you can go back to, you know, if you want to take the old, I forgot the individual's name who said the statement on Nightline with Ted Koppel back in the 80s, formerly of the Dodgers.
Oh, Al Campanaris?
Campanella,
maybe?
Campanis. That African-Americans did not have the intellectual capacity to be managers and to be leaders on the field. That's no longer the case. That's not anything what anyone's talking about. So I guess it's just a situation where should the players have spoken up about this? Like in their meetings or collective bargaining agreements?
Well, what do you say? You got to hire a black coach? You got to hire more black coaches? Like, what
can you
say?
No, you don't tell me you have to hire. You just say, hey, we've noticed that there is a discrepancy here. I guess that's all you can say. I don't think it's not necessary to force. But then again, I was talking to a friend of mine who himself was an affirmative action hire in Houston or Louisville, Kentucky? I can't remember. He says, hey, I hate affirmative action, but I wouldn't have had my job without it. And there are certain industries where that is true. Now, I'm not quite certain how much of an effect it's having in the NFL, but it is interesting looking at the numbers.
And no other sport has it, correct? Are there any safeguards?
Like a Rooney-like rule?
Yeah.
No.
No.
How many black GMs are there? That's the number. That's the one that I was struggling with yesterday because I tried I was finding dated material on all of them.
Cleveland has one, right?
Fired. Ray Farmer. He's not the GM anymore.
Oh, okay.
Is Ozzie Newsom still?
Ozzie Newsom is.
Right, still in Baltimore, right?
And Buffalo. Doug Wiley, the 42-year-old in Buffalo.
Yes.
Farmer was fired. And I couldn't – I know – I think in 2000
– Reggie?
13, right?
There, Reggie.
In 2013, there were seven. And I was trying to update since then and trying to figure out, okay, who's in, who's out, who's still not there. But I feel like it's – well, Farmer's not there. I don't know that they've hired a new one because Doug's been there for a while in Buffalo, so it's less than that.
So we've identified two.
Yeah. We've identified two.
And that's also a position. Honestly, I don't know all the names of every – I mean, I don't know who every team's
true.
GM is, but still the number's low.
Bruce Arians was told at the NFL owners' meetings last March, because he asked specifically about this.
About GMs or
Black head coaches and black coordinators. Teams had hired white head coaches 120 times in 141 chances over the past two decades. If you took 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe not even that long, you could probably name every black coach in the NFL over the last 20 years. It's only 19.
Even the interim ones? Because the interim ones will throw me off.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Fair.
I was doing
the
research,
fair.
And there's like Eric Studeville. I was like, who?
I don't even remember that.
Who's this? He was an interim coach. I don't know. Leslie Frazier, remember he was like a coach for the Vikings for a couple years? Interim, then they made him the coach.
Craig wants to know why we don't include women in the Rooney Rule.
For the
NFL? I think we're starting to see that on their own. I think it'll be hard because to find women who have a background in the NFL. Amy's a totally different animal.
Right.
I think Arizona has a high-ranking woman.
Well, they used to have an assistant coach.
Right.
I want to say Jim Welter.
Mm-hmm. She's not there?
No. She only had that like internship for like a couple of seasons.
I thought he hired someone else. Obviously, that's wrong then. Okay. I thought Bruce Arians hired someone else because Bruce Arians is like campaigning this thing.
Okay.
In terms of minority coaches, in terms of women, in terms of, you know, diverse locker rooms, diverse coaches. He champions that effort.
So maybe taking up where Dungy was.
Sure.
Yes, but you're right. The further you get removed from anything, Dungy's been out. When was the last time he did coach?
Was it 08?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're getting – it's almost a decade.
In Indianapolis,
it's getting farther away.
And, I mean, we reeled off two coaches right away who are gone, at least from the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't think Raheem Morris is still in the NFL.
I think he's an assistant.
Yeah, I think I saw him on a sideline.
I saw him on the sideline.
I can't remember where. I'm like, oh, I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is not one single coach in the NFL. You know, there's linebacker coaches, defensive back coaches, quarterback coaches. Any coach with the term quarterback in it, there's not one single black coach.
Really?
Whether it's quarterback coach, whether it's whatever other, it's because it says here there's 37 different positions that have 30 that have the word quarterback in them. Not one black head coach. But that, I think, goes back to the NFL. They told Warren Moon he couldn't be a quarterback because he was black.
That's true. He had to go to the CFL.
I don't know that the NFL has gotten that stink off of him yet.
There's something to it. And I think that first texter hit it perfectly. The NFL's concept of the Rooney Rule is great. The owner's execution of the Rooney Rule is trash.
No better person to discuss this with, no better person to discuss the business of the NFL with than Amy Trask. She joins us next here on The Lowdown.